Good morning and welcome to Community Conversations. This show, Community Conversations, is a series of pre-recorded interviews that will last about 30 to 40 minutes. We're hosting them here on 88.5 KRFY on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We were missing the morning show and hope you were too. This is an interim. It's not a replacement for the morning show, but until the morning show is back, we'll be doing these. And this morning, I'm Phil Huff. I'm on with my co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Hello, Phil.
And we are really excited to bring topics to you today that we hope are always of current interest, just as we have all throughout the many years we've been doing the morning show. General information, we like to highlight local voices. We are using some technology that's a little different than our normal radio technology. We're recording these remotely via Zoom. So if there's a little hiccup or glitch due to an internet split, just bear with us. So as part of the series of things we're doing now, we're including an open for business segment at the very beginning. And we're delighted this week to be able to introduce Charles Mortensen of Syringa Cyclery to do our open for business. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Charles, thank you for joining us, Syringa Cyclery. Please tell us briefly about a little bit about you, how you came to be in Sandpoint, and how the cyclery business came into being here in Sandpoint.
Well, I moved up to Hope, Idaho in 1996 at the end of the year with my wife and small child, working remotely for an environmental consulting company from the Bay Area. And I'm still employed by that company, and so is my wife, although I don't really do much work for them anymore. My day job is running a bike shop these days, Syringa Cyclery, in town in Sandpoint. We moved to Sandpoint in 1998 after spending a couple of years out in Hope. And so that's brings us to now.
So you're open for business. And you've been open for business through many of the closings as an essential business, and the bike business is booming, right?
Yeah, it seems to be. We, at this point, we have a few bikes on the floor. I'm hearing a lot of people are running out of bikes and they're having a hard time restocking, but we've been seeing a lot of new faces in the shop this spring, people who've had their bikes, you know, stowed away and they don't have anything else to do. So they're looking to get their bikes fixed up and get out and ride them. So we've been quite busy actually. And, you know, initially when the COVID pandemic hit, we were thinking, well, we'll close, but we'll be open by appointment only, which didn't really work because every time we came over, we just kept getting a lot of calls and it just made more sense to just be over here all the time. So we've been taking some measures, trying to limit the number of customers at a time in the shop, encouraging people to practice social distancing, wear masks if they like, and we have plenty of hand sanitizer in the shop.
Very good. Reports around the country say that the bikes are selling off quickly, and it sounds like that may be true for you as well. But what would you describe as the most significant changes to your business during COVID?
I think just the challenge of trying to do it safely. It seems like in terms of the business itself, we thought it was just going to die down, but it's been the opposite. We've been very busy here. And in fact, we've got a lot of backup with repairs and building bikes and that sort of thing. But the biggest change is just dealing with the COVID part of it and trying to keep people safe. Everyone seems to be on board with that.
Are folks coming in to get bikes for their kids, to get the kids out of the house, or are they looking for recreation for themselves, or some of them changing the way they commute?
It's all of that, really. We've sold a few kids' bikes, repaired a lot of kids' bikes, sold adult bikes. Everybody, our usual customers, as well as a lot of new faces that we haven't seen before, are coming in and buying and having things repaired.
That's good to hear. Our main interview this morning is going to be Round Lake State Park, and I've been walking out there and noticing an increase in bicyclists, bikers out there, but I also had a friend who asked that I would ask you to talk about places folks might consider bicycling that would be safe, and maybe even about bicycling in groups if that seems to be an issue. Is there any kind of health concern when four guys are biking right next to each other?
Yeah, it's definitely something to consider. I mean, if you're, depending on how vigorously you're riding, take into consideration that you're going to be sweating and you're going to be huffing and puffing a lot, sometimes blowing your nose and that sort of thing. So just like with everything else, practice social distancing, maybe a little further apart when you're riding a bike. As far as, and even wear a mask if you like. As far as places to ride, Round Lake is a nice kind of easy trail to ride for people. And of course, the Syringa Heights trails and Pine Street Woods here in Sandpoint, if you're looking for off-road type riding. On the road, plenty of road riding, gravel roads. A lot of people are shifting to what we call gravel bikes versus road bikes these days, so that you can get on the back roads and ride dirt and gravel roads, get away from traffic a little bit. Bike paths through Sandpoint and Dover and Pendere are always good.
Yeah, good suggestions. Charles, do you have any ideas about ways listeners might be able to help support businesses like yours and help them stay open? Any suggestions?
I would say if people just respect and adhere to whatever measures the businesses are taking to keep people safe and healthy. That's the biggest thing I think that people can do, especially at places where you've small spaces, shops with small spaces, restaurants, that kind of thing. We have a pretty small shop here, so we had a sign on the door, limiting the number of customers, and people are respecting that. And I think you can do it as long as you just follow the guidelines.
Well, Charles Mortensen of Syringa Cyclery, I'd like to thank you for joining us for our Open for Business segment. And you've given us some good ideas and some good advice. And I'm happy to hear that you're staying busy.
Thank you. And thanks for having me.
And here we are now finishing with our Open for Business interview and on to the main interview for this morning, which is Round Lake State Park with Park Ranger Mary McGraw and Park Ranger Bart Gutke. Good morning, Mary, and good morning, Bart.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So great to have you. So for listeners who haven't heard you before, you were with us last summer. Could you tell us briefly a bit about yourselves and how you came to be the park rangers here at Round Lake State Park?
Yes, my name is Bart Gutke. I'm the park ranger here at Round Lake State Park. I have been a ranger here at Round Lake for 3 years. I've been with Idaho Department of Parks and Rec for 8 years. Prior to Round Lake, I worked at Bruno Dunes, southeast of Boise. As you can imagine, Round Lake is about as far from Bruno aesthetically as you can get. And this is a wonderful park, and I'm very, very grateful to be here.
Good. And Mary, Mary's got a longer history. Mary, tell us about your history here.
My name is Mary McGraw. I'm the park manager here at Round Lake. I started out at Round Lake as the park ranger and worked for 20 years as the ranger, and then was promoted to the park manager. And prior to that, I had worked 10 years in southern Idaho, moving up in 1997 from Island Park at Harriman State Park. It's been about 33 years with the department, and the last 23 have been here at Round Lake and enjoyed every minute of it.
It seems all too obvious. We have to ask the question, have you ever seen anything like what we're experiencing this spring?
Absolutely not. My comment to everybody is, you know, after 33 years, you think you've seen it all. Never say never.
Yeah.
It'll never be the same. And I've never seen a storm like this, plus a pandemic. It's like the double whammy for us.
And we want to cover both of those. So for those listening who might not be aware of the storm impact or fully know the pandemic's impact, tell us a little bit about how both of those events and how they've impacted the park's operations to date.
Yeah, the storm hit, we call it the Friday the 13th storm. It hit March 13th, the evening of March 13th. Storm came through. It seemed to be fairly isolated, kind of right through the park mainly, of course, up and down Dewford also. We've seen wind storms before where we've had trees on buildings and, you know, substantial damage. But when you walk down into the park after the storm, it looked like an explosion. It was the most devastating storm I have seen. I had talked to the previous manager who was here started in mid-70s, something like that, and I asked him if he had ever seen a storm like this prior to, you know, I arrived, and he said he had never seen a storm since of this magnitude come through this area since then. So this might be the 100-year storm.
Pretty unusual. And Mary, how do you see the storm affecting Round Lake this year?
What we had to do with the amount of trees that were uprooted and broken off, we had to have the campground logged. So we had a logging crew in the campground. If you've ever seen what a logging crew does to an area, you can only imagine what the campground looked like. The logging crew that we had in here did a magnificent job. They were very careful and took the time and extra effort to make sure not to damage more stuff than was already damaged.
Mm-hmm. But at first you didn't have a bunch of helpers. I ran into Bart out at the state park and it sounded like he was a little tired. Bart, tell us about that.
I will. Yeah, it was poor timing is what it was. Mary, unfortunately, was out for a little bit with an injury that she was taking care of. And this kind of happened right when COVID-19 was getting really big and things. And we were on a hiring freeze with the department, so we didn't have a chance to get seasonals in here. I did have some great help with some volunteers, which was wonderful. But we had contractors working on repairing buildings. We had the logging crew taking care of the campground. And I'm just happy that the place didn't burn down on my watch.
Yeah. And so it was more than the campground. I've heard tales of trees down across the trails. So give us a sense of the extent outside of the campground and the numbers. I heard some amazing numbers.
The trails, I think it took you a week, 10 days straight working on the trails with a volunteer or two, helping out just to clear the trails enough to get through. We estimate there was 250 to 300 trees down in the park. When they logged, they took out in excess of about 300,000 board feet of wood. So
wow.
It's a lot of wood, and it looks amazing right now. We're getting to the point where we're getting it cleaned up and getting it ready to open here in a couple of weeks. But it was pretty substantial as far as the number of trees that were out.
So it seems like a catastrophe, a major disaster, but there are some positive outcomes. Tell us about those.
Yeah, that's one thing that we are actually pretty optimistic about. There's still a good amount of shade in the campground, surprisingly, but it really has opened up the campground, allowing some sunlight to come in. We're expecting this year, this summer, as well as next fall and spring, that new trees are going to start popping up everywhere. The vegetation, I think, will really thrive at this point. So we're really excited about getting some new growth coming in. The amount of trees that we anticipate coming in is fairly substantial.
It sounds like an opportunity for more interpretive signs.
We do not have interpretive signs planned, but we do hope to be able to expand on that during our interpretive programs, especially some of our junior ranger programs. So, yes, signs aren't always the best, but, you know, it's always an opportunity to create a learning experience.
So let's talk a little bit about the park's status of operations. Sounds like it was closed. Is it closed to all uses or just certain uses?
When we first had the storm, we actually closed the entire park for about 7 days. We were able to get the day use area open, and we've been able to maintain to keep the day use area open. The campground has been closed since the storm started. And of course, it was within a week or two of when COVID really hit us also. So a lot of the parks had closed the campgrounds at that time for safety reasons. So, you know, the day use area really has thrived since the storm has happened, since COVID started also.
So tell us what's happening right now, what's open now, and what do you plan to reopen in what stages?
Right now we have the day use area open, the boat ramps open, fishing's open, trails are open. And just today the loggers have finished up this week, and today we got the visitor center parking lot open at this time. So the campground does remain closed. So there's a lot of hiking, dog walking, fishing. We're starting last couple of weeks, I've been seeing a lot of canoes and kayaks, people bringing their boats in to go fishing, which really helps with social distancing as far as the fishing people fishing on the docks and stuff. It disperses that a little bit. We are hoping to, by May 30th, the state parks are hoping to open all the campgrounds, and we're hoping to fall within that time frame also.
Okay, it does seem very busy. I don't know if you keep track of folks that are local or from other areas. Are you having an understanding of where everyone is coming from?
We are. We have quite a lot of locals, a lot of usual faces that I see on a daily basis. We're seeing a lot of license plates from Kootenai County. I think a lot of folks from the Coeur d'Alene area are coming up to play in the park. I think a lot of people are kind of tired of being at home cooped up, and they want to get outside with their families and enjoy the nice weather we're having. We're also seeing about 20 to 25% of out-of-state plates as well, from Washington, Oregon, Montana, things like that. So it's fairly diverse. The out-of-staters they weren't as prevalent when the governor had the 14-day quarantine in effect, but I believe that's been lifted, and people are out playing. So pretty good variety of customers.
And, you know, Round Lake is really full with campers all summer. I'm a walker, and I know that the campground is full. What will the campground experience be this summer?
We don't have any plans to limit the sites or camping as far as that goes. We're asking people to keep their group size down. All indications are that we're going to be extremely busy once we do open. The expectation from some of the reports and some of the surveys that we've seen across the country indicate that people are wanting to get out. They're going to get out and they're going to do some recreating, get some mental health, release going there. And I think that is going to be a great thing for everybody.
Round Lake State Park, such a gem that even if the area loses some of the tourists who might come from a long ways away for an extended trip, it seems like we're going to see a lot of local people, whether it's immediately local or regional, wanting to do shorter trips. The staycation, but staycation and get out and have a campfire and roast some marshmallows.
I agree. That's typically in times like this where people may not want to travel so far, may not feel comfortable staying in more confined areas such as a hotel or something like that, will come to the state park and recreate.
Now we're seeing a lot of melt-off. Yes, we're seeing a lot of melt-off here lately, and the east end of the loop sometimes floods in the spring. What's it like right now, and was there any damage from this spring's floods?
That's a great question. My family and I were actually out on the east side just the other day, about 2 days ago. It's a little muddy. You're definitely going to get a little mud on your shoes, but it's not flooding at all. The creek is actually not as high as I thought it would be this time of year, possibly due to this sort of gradual warm-up we had, but everything is still very passable. I don't think you'll need hip waders or gaiters or anything like that, but you'll definitely get a little mud on the soles of your boots. So,
yes, very true. Bart, what about the programs? So many summer programs, either through Round Lake or the Master Naturalist. What are the plans?
Well, some of the plans, we're definitely going to have to modify them. We want to have as many interpretive programs as we can while also keeping people comfortable and safe in the park. So we're still going to have a lot of programs. We have a lot of new things now to talk about now that the park has changed visually and culturally. But we may limit, the sizes of some of them or do more activities where we can keep that 6-foot distance so people feel more comfortable and we're keeping people safe. So just little tweaks here and there. We'll have to address that at the program level, program by program, and decide what we can do for each program to keep people safe and still make memorable experiences here in the park.
Yeah, so more to come there, and I know that you use Sandpoint Online as a resource to let folks know what's going on. One of you told me about the Painted Turtle study. Could we have an update?
Yeah, I talked to Dr. Addis just the other day, and she is coming in and doing the turtle research, the nesting research this year after a break last year. She has scaled down because of the COVID. She probably will not, if she has any students helping her, it may be just one, but most of it, I think she's going to end up doing that on her own. So we are going to continue if you see a turtle, report it. We're going to set something up here at the visitor center where either you can, drop a tally in a box or record it on a book or something like that. That's yet to be set up. So we are continuing with the research. And like I said, if you happen to see a turtle out and about, especially this time of year, it's probably a she and she's probably looking for a nesting area. So if she's out moving around, please don't disturb it. Just let it do its thing and please report it.
So on the topic of wildlife, the park is such a haven for such a wide variety of wildlife. Have the storms this season or the flux in visitors or logging operations had any impact you can discern at this point on other fauna?
We have not really seen a whole lot of impact. As a matter of fact, when the loggers were in here, usually in the afternoon, the deer family would come on through, even though the loggers had been in here all day. They would, every day, almost like clockwork, they'd come on through, go down to the Swamp Trump area, get their drink of water and do their little nature hike thing. And but yeah, we've seen an abundance of birds. The eagles are out, the ospreys are back. There's been a lot of migrating birds coming through. The one thing that the storm may have done may have changed the dynamic enough to attract other migrating birds coming through here. So that would be interesting to know if any of the birders out there noticed that. That would be, that'd be something that we'd be interested in knowing.
It'd be interesting to see that, and if the opening of space creates more browse for some of the deer and moose. And I imagine there might be some very jealous beavers, all those trees coming down.
There might be. They might be looking to wonder where they all went.
Yeah.
I can offer a perspective. I'm out quite frequently, and I noticed a young family commenting on the number of garter snakes they saw along the edge of the lake. They were very excited about that. And Bart, you and I have had a conversation about where are the moose at Round Lake, and you've told me that they're further up the hill out on the forestry land. And I took a little mushrooming hike up there, and what did I see? Not a moose, but lots of moose poop. So I think you're right about that. The moose are there, but they're just not right on the main path.
Maybe
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
So, Julie, that's a nice segue to our next topic, poop, and leave no trace. And with the heavy impact, the heavy usage that people have, they bring their dogs a lot of times. How are you dealing with educating people about making sure they pick up after their butts?
That's a good question. You know, we see more and more people coming into the park, using the park as dog walking areas. They come in almost every day. You know, we provide doggy bags to help keep the trails clean. We also provide a garbage can down a ways from the trail, hoping that it would inspire people to carry their dog bag that far and then dispose of it. I do not understand why people pick up doggy dew and put it in a bag and then leave it on the side of the trail. We definitely need to research that a little bit, find maybe some signage, some incentive for them to continue to dispose of it properly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we all come to the state parks for a natural experience. And I've thought about it a bit because I am a dog owner and I try to do a good job of picking up after my little guy. And you know, I think sometimes we as dog owners think, well, I'm only out here one time every few months. What does it matter? But what I think that folks don't realize is that there are so many of us, and, you know, not picking up a time or two really adds up. And so I'm kind of the, I would like to recommend to folks that own dogs to think about the fact that in the national parks, dogs aren't allowed anymore. And that is due to loose dogs and dog poop that's not being picked up. And that happens at Idaho State Parks. And maybe the dog owners would like to just think about picking up when they do and maybe picking up one extra one, because we always miss one sometimes. So maybe just being a little more responsible, right?
That's what we hope for, is that the dog owners, especially the ones that use it all the time, would be responsible and pick up after their pet and dispose of it properly. It takes everybody to make sure that we don't lose that privilege of having to eliminate dogs from the park, because there's nothing more pleasant than to be able to come to the park and walk your dog and enjoy that time.
Yeah, would hate to lose that. Well, as we wrap up our really great interview with Mary McGraw and Bart Gutke, what else? What would you like to add, you two?
Well, we got a couple things that is kind of interesting. You guys had mentioned programs and what we might be doing. One of the things that the state parks is putting together is the Junior Ranger. Some parks aren't going to be able to do the Junior Ranger program, and they're doing an online Junior Ranger program. So if that's something that you want to do with the kids, especially, you know, if you want to still practice social distancing and stuff like that, you can look online. There's a lot of activities that can be available there. And I think they're hoping to get that going here about mid-June, first part of June. So look for that on our webpage. Also, one thing that we've been working on during this whole thing also is we are going to have a brand new shelter that's going to be available for reservations here as soon as we open up the COVID-19 restrictions a little bit. The shelter is, they're just finishing it up, and I think it's going to be a great addition to the park.
That's quite an exciting thing. I remember walking through it with you a couple years ago, Mary, when it was just a vision in folks' eyes, and it's nice to see it come to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's big, and it's pretty darn big, isn't it? It's a nice size structure.
It is. It's I think it turned out wonderful. I think some of the detail that they've spent on it, it really makes it fit into the park. The shelter is going to be suitable for about 50 people, so that's going to basically double the size of our other shelter. Both shelters are still going to be available, but this one will be a little bit nicer for a little larger group.
Yes, and the existing structure by the lake has had a new roof. It looks beautiful.
It is. It was repaired after a tree struck it. Imagine that.
So, Round Lake State Park, bigger, better, newer, cleaner, more sunlight.
That's right. That's right. It'll never be the same. We hope it'll be better.
Yeah. That's a good note to end on.
That's right. Well, Mary McGraw and Bart Gutke of Round Lake State Park, I want to thank you for joining us for Community Conversations here at KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle, 88.5 FM. This is a recorded interview, recorded several days before. So if folks are concerned about what might have changed, they should check before coming out to Round Lake. However, I think we're in pretty good shape. Round Lake is probably not having a bunch of new changes due to COVID. So thank you for joining us, and look forward to running out and visiting Round Lake State Park.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Phil.
Yep. Thank you both for joining us today.